welcome to Two Boomer Women. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. I've been talking with Boomer Women for almost a decade now. Well, I guess I've been talking to Boomer Women all my adult life. Reinventing myself several times along the way, though, but always focused on us, Boomer Women. With this incarnation of Two Boomer Women, I'll be interviewing other women who have a message of interest for our demographic. If you want to hear about or learn about something specific, let me know and I'll find someone who understands us to talk about it. There's a contact page at twoboomerwomen.com. If you want to be a guest on Two Boomer Women, bring it on. There's an application form at the website too. Finally, this show is all about conversation. We women know its value. We know how to do it, and we must perpetuate the art form. So let's get started with today's show. Good morning, Boomer Women. It's Agnes here on a cold but clear Wednesday morning. Now, I met my next guest a few years ago. I can't even remember why I was at her house, but she is such an interesting woman, I've kept track of her. Phyllis Chubb, welcome to the Two Boomer Women podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here, and I think it's going to be fun.
I'm sure it's going to be fun. As I mentioned, I can't remember why I was at your place. That's probably something technical, I think. But what I do remember is that you thanked me by, okay, and here's where I flaunt my ignorance of your field of expertise. You found, created my chart, even though I didn't have a lot of info about my birth details, because of your skills with and your knowledge of Jyotish astrology. Can you explain what you did that day?
That's called chart rectification. And I can't remember why we met either, but I'm sure that it had to do with the fact that I don't understand computers. And I oftentimes do that for a person, depending on how I feel with them. And when you get a person's time of birth, time and place of birth, they have certain events in their lives, such as immigration, marriage, birth of children, divorces, remarriage, major accidents, all these things. All those things are patterns of energy, and our birth chart is nothing more than a pattern of energy that is a picture of us. And it's an intimate picture, if the time is right. So if you know a couple dates and you can look at the person, you can see how they come close. And if you know about what their interests are, well, that helps. And it's easy to do, but it takes many years of training. It's done in a set, you know, few minutes. I can do it usually. Sometimes it's nigh on impossible. But generally, I can do it. Hmm. And it's deceiving because it looks so simple.
It looked simple maybe to you. I remember, and it's funny because you blew me away that day because I didn't know my time. I knew it was sort of either this or that for time of birth. And so you found something and you asked me some questions and I said, no. And you very quickly asked me a few other questions and I said, yes. And it was, as I say, simple for you, absolutely awe-inspiring for me. Now your level of...
I hope you learned something.
I learned to respect your abilities. Your level of study is really high. Can you expand on that, please?
Well, I have been very fortunate all my life. My grandfather used to say my first word was why. I wanted to know why people thought the way they thought, why they did the things they did. I was raised in a community that was particularly, I would say, a farming community. So they were narrow sometimes in their thinking. So I didn't fit very well. because I would challenge it, or at least it was seen that I was challenging. So at a very young age, I had the advantage, I was 9 years old, to meet a yogi. Now a yogi is a person who studies himself or herself and expands their consciousness in the sense of having greater understanding about the energies within themselves. Well, that opened a door. And unfortunately, I only had a couple meetings with that man, and I was 9. And when a child is 9, that is a time when doors can open. And my doors lost their hinges. So I went from that when I was a teenager into looking at metaphysics and early Western astrology. And by the time I was 20, I became a member of a group called the Rosicrucians. And that was supposed to be hidden secret knowledge. Boy, and I lapped that up. And they had a program that took a few years to go through, a couple of years, I think 3-4 years, something like that. And it was called Temple Degrees. And the word temple meant place of learning, and that is the actual meaning of the word temple. It has nothing to do with worship, learning. So through them, I learned how important the mind was and how important our consciousness was. And they talked about such weird things as auras and energy patterns, being able to affect matter, and all sorts of weird things that in the 50s was verboten. So from that, I traveled. By the time I was 30, I went to Toronto and had the opportunity to study with Elizabeth Deschet, who was head and founder of the Institute of Astrological Studies. She took me as an apprentice, and it was a classical apprenticeship, and she bloody near killed me. But she and Dr. Jack Griffin, who was head of the Institute, a psychiatrist, decided that if I didn't have academics, nobody would listen to me. I have to go to school. Because at that time, I had grade 9. So they, under their pushing, I started at UFT to get a BA. They thought a BA would be okay, but it would be better I go further. Well, the long and the short of it was, I went to UFT, then to Carleton because I was in Ottawa, and I was teaching astrology in Ottawa and practicing. And then I came home to BC in, I think it was 77, something like that. And I started practicing. And I had to go to Cap College for 1 year before I could go to Simon Fraser because I'd been out of the province too long. So it was 79. I went to Simon Fraser. And I got out of school in 86 with a 3-year master's. And my master's was what's called an independent. I was not under one specific discipline. It was in community counseling, so psychology, and psychiatry, because I did 3 years training at Riverview at Priest Clinic with schizophrenia. And now, I must be clear here, I was not formally being taught. I was free to do what I wanted with the patients. And they taught me so much. It's unreal. But my thesis was on using what was called at that time cognitive restructuring with people who'd been diagnosed with schizophrenia. in our way of assessing and evaluating whether something works or not, we use measurements, objective measurements. Well, the objective measurement showed that there was very little effect. The observable differences were fantastic. But in our form of evaluation, you can't measure it. And 3 years after I finished, I went back to one of the homes, and a staff member, when she was told my name, thanked me because one of my subjects had taught her how to quit smoking using those techniques. The subjects that were still there, it's a wonder I didn't get my ribs broken. The difference. And some had left to go into the community. So there are different ways of doing things. But the way we normally look at consciousness, there's a problem if you teach a person how to be able to use their mind, how important that is. And if you do that, one of the first things that shows that something is getting through is they're not compliant. And naughty, naughty, naughty. So, I am still doing the same thing, trying to encourage people to be non-compliant.
I suddenly like you even more.
It's so important that we follow our own truth. And in following our own truth, we then become more honest with other people. And we will have more peace in our life. Like, everyone wants to be happy. You want to be happy. Something's going to make me happy. I'll buy a new car, a new dress, new whatever. And it does make us happy for at least sometimes 2 days. And right after that, we're right back to where we were, looking for something outside of ourselves to do what we are capable of doing for ourselves.
So it's an inside job.
It's an inside job. But you got to know that that's possible. You got to know how to get in there. And that's why the chart's so important. So after I got my degrees, I went straight for a while. And straight to me means that I was doing community counseling without an ephemeris. And I opened a community counseling center funded by the government. So, I mean, it was legit. And I kept my ephemeris under the table. Right after that, I had an experience that Carl Jung would have thought was perfectly wonderful. I was standing in a bookstore looking at the stacks, and a book fell, and I have really good reflexes. And I caught it, and I turned it over. And it said, "The Astrology of Death." Well, I thought, what a pile of nonsense this is. So I bought the book, and I started reading it right away, and thank God my husband was with me because he drove me home. And for 2 days, I sat reading this book. And I could understand part of it, and then every so often they'd go off the edge. And I didn't know what they were talking about. They had charts wrong. And I was so upset, I phoned the author. I ran the author down and phoned him, and Rick laughed, and he said, "Yeah, there's a course going on in Arizona. You should go." The long and the short of it is I went, and my life was changed, totally changed. I had spent many years sitting in classes. Well, I sat in a class, and we were all talking and joking before it started, and this little man walked up the aisle to the lectern, and as he walked up, I started crying. There's no reason for crying, but the tears just flowed. And I still don't know what he talked about. And at the end of his lecture, my feet took me up there. And he had his hands stretched out. Nobody touched them. He grabbed my hands. And the first thing he said to me was, "What took you so long?" Hey, Agnes, I had spent the last X number of years studying psychology, psychiatry, and I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on with me.
I don't know what the hell's going on, but I just got goosebumps when you said that.
It was wild. He spent as much time as he could with me for the next 3 days. And the last thing he said to me, he said, "I will be going soon, but you have to study and study hard, and that we'll meet next time. You will be with me again." What the hell was he talking about? So yeah, of course he was going home now. I was going home too. I mean, what big deal? Well, he had the gall and the audacity to leave permanently, at least in this life, very shortly after that. And whenever I decide that I'm not going to study or I'm not going to do something, I have his picture here. And as a result, from 1997 to 2015, I was in intense study. Now, I will never quit reading charts, but I will definitely quit having regular clients. I don't want to do charts that people want to know when to let the cat out. If a person calls me and they're in emotional pain, they're willing to look at themselves and start the process of being true to themselves, I'm there. I will be there for them. I won't tell them what to do and I won't make their decisions. But I will most certainly explain the strengths that they have to be able to help themselves and how to access those strengths and the challenges they're going to have along the way. And the reason that is important is because once a person understands that a challenge is normal for them, they're then able to deal with it with a different attitude. So I'll do that.
I'm almost speechless here. Now, I do have to just do a little sideways step here. And I'm really glad your dog barked because my dog is notorious. She ignores me.
Yeah, well, this one is...
I'm on podcast, so that was great. Anyways, as I say, when you were talking about the lecture that you were at and that person held out his hands, I mean, I just felt something was going to connect and I did really get goosebumps. It was just...
It was years later that I found out Narendra Desai was famous for what's called seeing people. And he slipped into what is called samadhi frequently and unexpectedly. And samadhi is a different level of consciousness than we have. There's no big, no big secret around it. It's normal, but it's not normal for the so-called normal person. So there's no magic, there's no good spirits, bad spirits, whatnot. It's an ability to connect and to have an understanding that is available to all of us if we have the discipline.
He felt you. Does that mean that some people like yourself have
You accuse me of lots of things. But being able to slip into samadhi isn't one of them.
Oh, no. I just meant, though, that some people maybe have greater ability, and he felt that from you.
Yes.
So I might be in the same room, and he wouldn't necessarily get anything from me.
It's even different than that. It's not because me, Phyllis Tubb. It's because of, now this is really going to sound strange, because in our culture, we don't acknowledge the importance that there's some aspect of ourselves that is permanent. We experience that every so often. We experience being able to see another person, to understand something. And an example of that is sometimes we can walk into a room with another group and we go, ooh, something's up, I'm out of here. Because we can feel that there's something not nice going on. Conversely, it can be really nice, but we can feel it. Another example of our knowingness, unfortunately, comes in relationships. It's very common in a relationship for one spouse to know, to have that feeling that, you know, something's wrong, long before they have any evidence that their spouse is having an affair. We know with our children, if they're sick, if they're upset, what's wrong with them? We have no evidence. No one phoned us and told us, you know, they just fell off the swing. We just, George, Sally, something's up. Because you see, we are all connected. It's just that in our culture and in our level of understanding, we disregard that because it doesn't fit with the paradigm that we've been fed. Now, one of the reasons for that is we are shaped by a religion. And religions, it doesn't matter which one it is, religions direct our awareness. This is good, that's bad. This is up, that's down. But consciousness, once we become conscious, it opens our awareness. It expands it rather than directing. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I honestly, I'm almost at a loss as to, I don't even know what to ask you. It just, yeah, it makes complete sense. And perhaps again, because you have the understanding, you are able to explain it. And I really appreciate that. Going back to something you said before, like maybe because of where you are at, you almost make it sound doable.
It is doable.
Yeah. But I think we, the layperson, the other people, probably a whole bunch of people listening right now, have no concept of recognizing, first of all, the bounds that are set upon us by society, religion, government, like all those things, to say, who am I? And I don't know whether it's where I fit or I'm not sure.
Well, when we are in this society, whatever society we are in, we need to be able to function in that society. And if we are conscious, if we can hold our consciousness and know what our limits are and our boundaries, we can function very easily. It's when we think that our strength or our validation is outside of ourselves that we get into trouble. Because we then think, it's my husband's responsibility to make me happy. It's my child's responsibility to do what I tell them. It's the government's responsibility to fix the roads. It's always out there. And somebody else can make me mad. There's nobody in the world that can make you as mad as you make yourself. But you gotta learn how to get a hold of that handle. All have a path. And we all have a whole pile of shitty stuff that we don't like. And we worked really hard to get that shitty stuff. And it's how we look at it. The moment we can say, oh God, I bet I had a party, it makes it a whole bunch easier to say, okay, I can live with it. I learned. So our attitude is the most important. But getting a handle on our attitude when everything around us is encouraging us to look outside of ourselves. It doesn't matter if it's a religion. Someone else is going to save us. I got news for you. The only person in this world who's going to save you is you. But it's an expanded you. It's not the person I shower every day. It's a larger part of each of us. And we're all connected. That's why we can all learn from each other.
I don't know if our listeners realize that we're on Zoom so we can see each other. And I suddenly just wish, like, I love your words, but I also love watching you express them. And I wish that we almost had a video of this because you speak from within yourself as well.
I have certain patterns in my Western chart and in my Vedic chart that suggests that I talk with my hands. My grandfather used to say I had to sit on my hands to shut up.
I think, you know, it's funny because you can't see my hands in the screen here, but I do tend to sit like this for the exact same reason. Because now, fingers are still linked, but I'm moving my arms around. So
let's use whatever we've got, because that is why you can get in trouble with emails, because
yes.
People do not see the full sentence.
Yes. Okay. I got a feeling this particular conversation could go on for a long time, and I really wish we could. I'm going to segue now, and I don't even know if it's a segue. Might just be out of left field. You recently wrote a novel. Where does a novel fit in the world of Phyllis Chubb?
Well, it's my new soapbox.
Oh.
I've decided to learn to write novels. And let me tell you, there's a lot of learning in there, and it's not an easy thing to do. I am making stories of life situations, life events. Trying to wrap it around love stories, because apparently that's what people want to read, is a love story of a character thinking in a way that limits them. And so there's always another character who comes along and has this far out idea of seeing the world differently and makes suggestions and does this and that. So it helps the main character learn about their own strengths and their own powers and how they fight along the way not to change their thinking. And yet they eventually do and reap the benefit of it. So this is my latest idea about being able to have people learn while they're being amused, so that they can learn different ways of looking at the world. There's other ways of seeing it. So it's my own soapbox.
It's funny how I recently did interview an author, and she said that everybody wants a romance.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, but it's interesting because when I read the back cover of the book, I haven't had, I'm going to go buy it now, you know that.
That wasn't my purpose.
No, because now it's like, I had a glimmer of that might be where you're going. Given the little bit I do know about you, I thought, this is her way of, it's like a new platform.
Yes.
People want a romance novel, mm-hmm. So I am going to put what I need to say into the characters, well, into the characters in this book. And what piece of genius is that?
Well, I don't know. I write a blog where I deal with, this is a broad term, facts. It's, this is what's been discovered this week. This is how it relates back. It ties in over here and here. And it's not an academic piece, but falls more into that nonfiction category. And people aren't really interested in it.
I'm going to disagree with you there because I'm on your mailing list.
Really?
So I get notified when you publish a blog post. And I go in and you almost, it's like you have this little, what's it called when you toy with the cat, like this little morsel. And it's like you get this little tiny taste. And this is going to be hard to say because people don't know about the conversation we had before we went live. But it's, you talk about this and I'm going like, okay, this is a big subject that Phyllis has put into 2 to 3 paragraphs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to know that at the bottom of the article, there's a little button to click and get the expanded, like the full thing, except I understand that some of the things that you write, the full thing would be a book.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Many books.
Yeah. So it's...
As long as it makes you think.
Okay, thank you. It does that, trust me.
Because those little blurbs, I know, they're just a throwaway.
No, they're a teaser.
Well, to write more behind it, I have been told that people won't read it because, I mean, I could write, what was it last week I wrote on the subtle body, I think.
Yeah, that's the three bodies.
And, yeah, I could write probably 5 or 10 pages on that as to how we can relate it to ourselves, to understand it, to this and that, so you can feel it for yourself. But who's going to read it? Do you know how long it takes to write that?
Okay, so here's a proposition. You don't need to write it. People don't need to read it. Will you come back on and do this subject with us? Can we explore that a little bit on another podcast episode?
Well, I'd love that because I'd much sooner talk than write.
Yeah, me too. Okay, and speaking of talking than writing, like many of us who are over 65, you're semi-retired.
Yes.
But you are teaching a little bit, are you?
I still have a couple private students. I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I grow up. I'm in a different phase right now.
Yeah.
And I think most of my energy, although I will teach with Elder College at North Island College, just because it's fun and I like to do it. I want to do these novels, get as much information out, so because people might learn that way. If you can understand and hold your consciousness, it removes pain. And what I see over my many, many years, goodness gracious, I don't like to say this, some people aren't this old. I started full time in the early 70s, in the mid 70s. So that's over 45 years. So I've heard lots of stories. You have to get up pretty early in the morning to shock me, I'll tell you.
Oh, dear.
And I want to get that out.
So there's more books coming. More novels.
Yeah, one is being published on Thursday.
Well,
it's going up on Thursday, so it should be available by Saturday.
Okay, so
another one. Oh, this is a shattering title, I tell you. Real Love is Calm. And the picture has one woman by herself. So... And okay. I'm writing the third one right now, and it should be up in a month.
Okay, so you're having altogether too much fun.
Oh, it can be part of it is fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love is eternal.
Okay, I want the video up. Oh, dear. Okay, so your website is phyllischubb.com. Tell us the name of your first book.
The name of my first book?
Yeah.
Real Love Is... No.
You want me to go there?
Real Love Is Calm. Yeah, so Real Love Is Calm is the first one.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the second one. Just a sec. I can tell you the name.
It's okay.
Oh, it's really important.
It'll be in the show notes, Phyllis, not to worry. Ah, oh, dear. I'll look it up and make sure all the links are in the show
True
notes.
True love is real. There we go. True love is real. You can tell it's really high on my list.
All right. Phyllis, we're pretty well out of time. And
oh, that's good. That's good.
No, as I say, I want to have a day-long podcast episode with you. So, as I say, I'm going to put links to you in the show notes. If anybody's in the area of mid-Vancouver Island, Comox Valley, North Island College, check out Elder Care Offerings. See if Phyllis is listed and attend. You won't regret it, I promise. So many things that we did not touch on today. You have traveled. You have that other subject that I'm not even going to mention because I didn't realize it was as big as it was.
Is.
Is. Okay, sorry. Yes. She teaches grammar, too. No.
No, she doesn't.
No, I know. I'm just teasing. Thank you so much, Phyllis. So much sort of new knowledge, but maybe it's like obvious knowledge that you offered
that's
us.
It.
Yeah.
That's it.
So thank you. I really, really appreciate this. And I am going to, as soon as we finish up here, see if I can lure you back.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I carry my own soapbox.
That makes two of us. That's how I often start solo episodes or blog posts. I'm on a soapbox today.
Yeah, I carry my own.
That's great. Okay, Phyllis, thank you so much for today.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. This is fun.